Chapter 7 Country Roads.
It was an honor meeting you, Brother Jin. Ting Feng clasped his hands before him. I pray that you will do us the honor of attending our marriage after the harvest.
I made the appropriate gestures. I will not miss it, Brother Ting Feng, I said, and I meant it. Mei Hua and Ting Feng were good people. But are you sure about these? By these, I meant the two young pigs I had been gifted. I had been planning to build some actual pens and maybe a barn first, but one does not refuse generosity lightly, especially after a man swears to be your brother for the rest of time and then pledged if I ever needed his services, he would answer without hesitation. It had been a bit awkward. I had never really been one for grand oaths or displays. At least I found the music shop while he'd been haggling with the person who sold him the pigs. A pipa was kind of like a banjo, right?
Brother Jin, for what you did for us, I would buy you 1,000 more, and it still would not be enough repayment.
I sighed internally.
Well, all right then. I hope Ting Feng doesn't beggar himself by repaying everybody as extravagantly as he says he would. He did it even after I said he didn't need to do anything for me.
Fake Boy was in prison and shackled with about 10 spirit restrainers, some kind of chi suppression artifact that only worked if people were low level in their cultivation. People like me, in the initiate's realm. Zhou had often been called barely a cultivator when he was in the sect because he'd been so low. Personally, I thought it was a bit overkill for such a weak person, but better safe than sorry, I guess. We were all in reasonably good spirits as we set out back along the road to Mei Mei's village. Xian Jr. was all over my back again, asking me to show him how I'd defeated the bad guys, and I obligingly showed him several kung fu moves I remembered from badly translated movies. He laughed at my hua and wachas and little flips. It was a beautiful night. The moon was bright and full, and light bugs danced in the air for what would likely be one of the last times before fall truly set in. If she was a poet, she might have been inspired by the scene. As it was, she was just content with what she could see. They were camped at the foot of one of the hills, and Jin had climbed higher up to get a better view.
Mei Mei, her father ventured.
She looked at him, absentmindedly stirring the stew she was cooking for their dinner.
Yes, father?
She asked.
I wanted to apologize to you, daughter. I did not take your words with the consideration they were due, and have shamed myself.
He bowed his head slightly to her in regret. While a part of Mei Ling was hurt that nobody had believed her, the other part understood that what she had said had been simply unbelievable. Jin certainly did not act like any cultivator she'd heard of.
I forgive you, father.
What did he get up to that night in the forest? He asked after a moment. Was it a wolf?
Mei Ling looked up at the sky.
It wasn't a wolf. It was the Wicked Blade.
There was silence as her father stared at her.
The Wicked? Are you sure?
He asked anxiously. Mei Ling nodded.
I recognize the size and coloration, as well as its patchy fur.
Her father paled and then let out a shaky laugh.
Well, we are truly blessed by heaven, then.
They sat in silence until the stew was done. Mei Ling scooped up 2 bowls full and turned to her father.
I'll take this to Jin.
She gestured up the hill nearest them.
He isn't too far.
Her father nodded, but spoke up when she started to walk away.
Be careful, Mei Mei. Although, he sighed, he seems like a virtuous man.
There was an odd inflection to his voice, half resigned, half hopeful. Years of matchmaking had already failed, and this sounded like permission. Her cheeks tinted red at the thought.
We barely know each other, father,
she objected, but her heart wasn't in it. She was curious. Curious about what could produce a man like that. Her father, however, simply raised an eyebrow at her. The trek up the hill was relatively easy, even with the trees and rocks in the way, while she held on to 2 bowls of stew. She filled her nose with the night air and opened her ears until she found him. He was sitting on a large rock, instrument in hand. He had his tongue stuck out in concentration as he tried to play a tune she'd never heard before on a pipa.
He was holding the instrument wrong, to the side over his knee rather than upright, and kept hitting bum notes or messing up the chords.
"Jin, I brought you dinner,"
she said quietly. He started, surprised to see her, and then put his instrument to the side. He hopped off the rock, quite a distance, and landed effortlessly.
"Thank you, Mei Ling," he said earnestly.
"So you did remember my name,"
she mock-scolded, and he grinned at her. "Of course I remembered, Mei Mei," he said with a smirk, reaching out to take the bowl from her, though he paused and glanced back up at the rock. He chewed his lip.
Wanna come up top with me?"
he asked after a moment, seeming suddenly bashful. His face was a little red from the embarrassment.
"It was kinda cute."
"I'd love to,"
she replied, a bit bashful herself. She had little experience besides stories for this kind of thing. He smiled brightly at her acceptance, and he was once more his more sure self. He scooped her up, cradling her against his chest, and jumped. He alighted on the rock with far more gentleness than she'd anticipated. The view from the top of the rock was spectacular. It jutted out from the hillside into a gap in the trees, allowing one to see out across the rest of the hills, illuminated by the full moon. They sat in companionable silence on the rock, eating their dinner and taking in the view. She was rather gratified by the small sounds of enjoyment coming from him as he ate.
"What song were you trying to play? I've never heard it before,"
she finally asked, and his face flushed thoroughly this time.
"It's a song I heard in my childhood," he explained. "It's sung in a language not of the empire."
"Truly? I thought there was only one language men spoke."
Mei Ling was intrigued, but she supposed it made sense.
The man who taught me this song was from somewhere very, very far away."
There was a cool breeze through the trees, and Mei Ling leaned up against him for warmth. Jin's arm settled around her waist and pulled her slightly closer.
"Sing it for me?"
she asked.
"I'm not a very good singer," he demurred.
"Can't be any worse than your pipa playing,"
she teased. Jin laughed.
"All right, all right. It's your ears on the line here anyway." "Almost heaven, West Virginia."
His voice wasn't beautiful or grand. It did not stir the soul nor cause the land around him to weep, but it was nice enough. Mei Ling closed her eyes and relaxed, her fingers entwining with the hand on her stomach. She didn't know when she went from leaning on him to in his lap. She also didn't know who started kissing who, but she realized her father had been onto something. Kissing under the moonlight was very nice. The knowing grins they got when they returned were embarrassing, though, and Mei Hua wanted all the details. I was finally alone again, on my way back to my farm. I would have been home last night, but Mei Mei insisted that she make me the dumplings she had promised me. Let me tell you, Angry Cat Mei Mei was cute as hell. Mei Mei in an apron, smiling and serving me a home-cooked meal, did things for me. She was cute, she was spunky, she had a wicked sense of humor, and I kind of had it bad for fiery girls like that. But, well, I couldn't just ask her out for a date or a fling. Things didn't work like that here. I had to court her properly, which meant thinking about marrying her. Was I ready for that? Was I ready to just dive headfirst into something like that? Warm smiles, laughter, companionship. Months of isolation had taken their toll. I had tasted for a brief moment having other humans in my life, and there was no going back. This was my life now. I was stuck in this world. What was I gonna be, a hermit or a person? I steeled my resolve. It was a big decision. It would either end in tears or happiness. And if this was to be the rest of my days, I was going to make it a whole and fulfilling life. But my farm isn't ready for another person, let alone kids. I've got work to do. That meant so many things. A house, clothing, more food. I felt a fire in my gut, and I lifted. The cart came off the ground as I just started carrying it. The chickens squalled, Chunky and Peppa oinked in shock, and the miles disappeared under my feet. Maybe she would say no, but I had a project. I had something to work towards. Bidi's eyes snapped open. His great master's presence was near. He swept off the great pillars of the Faram. He checked the coop, only to find it spotless. He plucked the few interloping parasites from the heavenly herbs. He arranged the seeds he had collected that felt of chi upon the table within the coop as tribute for his great master. He hoped his prizes would be well received as repayment for his great master's generosity. He arranged the corpses of the wicked ones on great pillars so that his master would see the trophies he'd acquired. There was a small, yet long, member of Basibushi's ilk. Another creature was a beast that shared the same form as him but was far less noble, with a hooked beak and grasping talons. Now he stood, a sentinel at the entrance of the Faram. His females were arranged behind him, clucking and wandering as was their habit. His great master crested the horizon, moving at speed. Bidi swept into a bow, kowtowing before his lord, as was only proper. His great master scratched his wattles in greeting and took a deep breath of this blessed land's air. "Good to see you, Bidi. Let's get to work," he declared, and brought his disciple up to rest upon his broad shoulder.